$198 at the bottom, $1 on top. There's more Tanyas. Huh?
Everybody wants the mitzvah.
Of?
Getting the other person on Tanya.
Okay. Last thing. We didn't finish the parak yet, though. No, we didn't. I know. Okay, Al Rebbe says like this. You do it, kavana, inspired by intellect, it goes up to Bria. You serve Hashem with your natural love and fear, which is revealed, it goes to Yetzira. No kavana, habit, it stays put. Okay? So you have three options. No kavana, just habit, you don't even remember, did you daven or not, remember you just did that last week? That stays status quo. Doesn't go up, it doesn't go down. If you daven and you stimulate the natural instinctive love, like the Malachim, it goes to the world of Yetzirah. If you really stimulate an openly felt love and fear, it goes up to the world of Bria. The last thing the Alter Rebbe says, what happens if you learn it for the wrong reasons? You want to be famous, you want to be rich, you want to be respected, you want to be whatever it is. Then the Alter Rebbe says, that goes down into Klipa. The learning, Torah, or the mitzvah is lowered into evil. But, through tshuva, you elevate it back up to Kedusha. And, the Gemara promises that every Jew will do tshuva, and the Alter Rebbe says, whether this time around, or the next time around. So therefore, the Gemara says, you should do learn Torah and mitzvahs, even for the wrong negative reasons, because the Torah promises you, is going to become done right. And once you do it right once, all the learning and all the mitzvahs you did go up properly. Okay, so he says now the third line from the top. But when a person does a mitzvah plain, he doesn't do it for the right reason, he doesn't do it for the wrong reason. Like he said before, just habit. You don't even need to do tshuva. But as soon as you relearn it properly, because you didn't lower it into evil, like if you learn for the wrong reasons, if you just learn it, no reason at all. So then, as soon as you learn it properly once, what you learned just regular, becomes bound and connected to the learning that you're learning now properly, and it flies upward. Why? Because evil didn't touch it yet. When you learn for the wrong reasons, then because you lowered it into evil, in order to get rid of that learning and mitzvahs of evil, you need to do tshuva. But when you just do it out of habit, no positive, no negative, as you don't need tshuva. You learn it again properly, it's going to go up to Kedusha. And therefore he says, La'elam yasik adam, therefore the Gemara says a person should do mitzvahs for the wrong reasons, because eventually it's going to come to the right reasons. V'cheino inyim b'tfilo shalei b'kavana. And the same thing applies to davening. You could daven for the right reasons, you could daven for the wrong reasons. You could daven because you want everybody to say how great you daven, or how long you daven, or whatever. So sometimes it gets lowered into evil. Then you need tshuva to undo it from evil. Sometimes it doesn't get lowered into evil, and as soon as you learn properly, daven properly once, and the Rebbe explains in the comments of Tanya, that even if you do it piecewise, let's say, you didn't daven properly, okay? So the whole davening doesn't go up. One time you'll do Baruch Shama right, that will elevate all your Baruch Shamas that you said. Ashrei will elevate all your Ashreis. You don't have to daven the whole thing properly at one time. You daven any part of davening properly, it will elevate that part of davening that you didn't elevate. Okay? Now he says like this, in Perek Mem. So he says, you should learn for the even for the wrong reason, or just habit, do it out of habit, but like we discussed already, If you do mitzvahs out of habit, your kids are not going to do them. Because there's no transmission of feeling, which is what needs to be transmitted to the kids. But what happens, Kozman Shaloi Chazav Alamed Davez Alishma. Okay, so now you learned. So he says, even if you're learning it neutral or whatever, do it, because eventually you're going to learn it properly, and you're going to elevate it. But what happens until you elevate it? That's what Dalteb is discussing now. Where does your habit davening go until you elevate it properly? Where does it go? So he's like that. Ein limud eile afilu b'yut sfiris ha-me'iris b'eile ma'yitzira v'asiya. It doesn't even go to the attributes, to the sfiris of yitzira v'asiya. Ki ha-sfiris ein b'chinis ha-lukas. Okay, I need to explain something over here before we go further. We learned this concept a little bit before, and to explain it now at more in great length, because it's how we were talking about it. There are four worlds. Okay? Normally, what is in a world? A world, according to Chassidus, and Dalai Lama is going to say it here, Atzilas, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, all these worlds, they are a world that have chambers and places and creations. Okay? In addition to that, you have the godliness that shines into the world. To give an analogy from a house, okay? You have a house. The house has rooms and furniture and people and junk and stuff. It's in the house. Then you have the light that shines into the house. The house is a house, whether there's a light or no light. Correct? The house is the house. The only difference is, this is dark and this is light. In each one of the four worlds, let's say in the world of Asiya, Yitzira, Bria, doesn't matter. In the world of Bria, Yitzira and Asiya, there's a world. There's a house there. There's angels, and there's creations, and there's chambers. In addition to that, you have the sunlight, the godliness that shines into the world. Okay? So picture, you have four rooms, different rooms in the house. Each one has its own, this is a bedroom, and this is a kitchen, and this is a dining room, this is a living room. Okay? Whether there's light in the rooms or not, there's still rooms. When you bring light into the room, okay, that's the concept of the 10 attributes, the 10 spheres that exists in the world. In Atzilus, you have shining 10 spheres. In Bria, you have 10 spheres, lesser caliber. Yitzira, 10 spheres, 10 shinings, lesser caliber. Asiya, lesser caliber. It's very clear. You have chambers, and then you have the light of the chambers. When we speak about the 10 attributes of Hashem in each world, that's the light, the revelation of godliness that comes into the world. It's not the world. Bria is not the 10 spheres. Bria is the room. The 10 spheres is the light that shines into the room. The light of godliness that shines into the room. Okay? Is that clear? The Sfiris is the godliness that shines into each one of the worlds. But each world by itself is a world. What is a world? Rooms and chambers and furniture, spiritual furniture. Okay? Give you an example. Malachim, angels. Where are the angels? Okay, in Anaheim. Where are the angels? We up. We're up. 10 miles up, 20 miles up, where are they? Okay. Angels are in the world of Bria and Yetzirah. The holier angels are Bria. You know, the Michal, Gavriel, those guys, you know, the special guys. Most angels are in the world of Yetzirah. That's where they live. It's spiritual homes and spiritual angels, okay, live there. That is the world of Bria or Yetzirah. Now, in that world of Bria and Yetzirah, where the angels live, there's 10 attributes of God. Chochma, Bina, Das, Chesed, Gvur, Tiferet, Netzach, you say Malchus, that shine into that world godliness. So he said before like this, when you daven and do mitzvahs with a lot of kavana, your mitzvahs becomes united with the 10 attributes of God that are in Bria. When you do it with the natural love, your level becomes connected to the 10 spheres of Yetzirah. Now the Alter Rebbe is saying, when you do a mitzvah habit, nothing, it doesn't even go up to the spheres of Asiya. It only goes up to the chambers, to the world of Asiya or Yetzirah, without any revelation of godliness whatsoever. So it's not really united with God Himself. It's only united with the worlds, but not with the chambers, but not with the godliness that's in the world. It's clear as mud. Almost. Mud is clear. You know, it's interesting. There's a maimer from the Tzemach Tzedek and from Tzedekah called Sheresh Mitzvah Tefillah. He says, when you learn these things, Chlal Chassidus, he said, one of the most difficult aspects of this, of learning Chassidus, he says, is Lahafshit Hadvarim Migashmi Yusam. To remove them from the physicality of it. We are very, very physical. We don't get spirituality. Okay? When you said, and you're not wrong by what you're saying, because that's what everybody says, but it's not correct. You said the angels are up there. How far up? How far? 100 miles. By the space station, beyond the space station, above the sun, below the moon, where is it?
Yeah, further.
Further. Yeah. How far up?
Further than what you said. That's yeah. Like what I think of.
I know that's what we all think of.
Right.
When a person passes away, the neshama leaves the body and goes where? Up. Goes through the ceiling? Makes a hole in the ceiling. The neshama goes. We have to understand, that's the way we talk. Because that's the way we think. Okay? When we say, in our language, when we say higher and lower, what does that mean? If I stand on the table, I'm higher than you who are standing on the floor. Okay? If I'm on the second floor, I'm higher than you are who are on the first floor. Correct? That's physical dimensions. That's physical measurements. The Rambam says, even the Rambam says at the beginning of his book, when he describes the angels and all that, he says this, that the Torah uses expressions, Srafim Eindim Imalai, this Malach is higher than this angel, and this angel is lower than this angel. The Rambam says, it doesn't mean in space. It means in understanding of godliness. The more you understand, the higher you are. The less you understand, the less you feel godliness, the lower you are. We have this language in our language, in our vernacular, okay? When you have a close friend, does that mean the person is standing on top of you? No. What does it mean close? If you say, I'm traveling somewhere that's close, It means instead of 20 miles, it's 5 miles. That's close. But that's distance. Okay? When you say you have a close friend, what does that mean? You close? Or they could be on the other end of the world.
They could be on the other end.
So what does close mean?
Usually it's a connection.
So it's not a physical, measurable area distance, correct? You say, I'm not so close to them. It doesn't mean that they're further away from you than that person is, okay? When you say somebody has a deep head, what does it mean? It's 30 feet deep, 50 deep. His head is deeper than his. So, or I'm sorry, her head is deeper than hers. So this head is 30 feet deep, and this head is 40 feet deep. Is that what it means? No. What does it mean when you say deep head? It means they have a greater understanding than a person without such a deep head. We use physical language, but it's not the same, even in the physical world. When we say I have a close friend, it doesn't mean they're standing on top of me. It's a feeling. Okay? That you understand? Okay, now let's just take it a step further. Up and down in spirituality doesn't mean 10 miles up versus 6 feet under. Gehenim, or when they say hell, hell is not 6 feet down. Okay? To use the expression 6 feet, because that's usually how deep they dig a grave. That's why they say hell is 6 feet under. Okay? Gehenim is not 6 feet under, and Gan Eden is not 10 miles up. And Atzilus is not 40 miles up, and Bria 30 miles up, and Yetzirah 20 miles up, and Asiya 10 miles up. When you use expressions higher and lower, we have to understand we're not talking physical dimensions. Got it? Okay. What does it mean when you say somebody is closer to Hashem, or a tzaddik is closer to Hashem, and a rasha is further from Hashem? It doesn't mean this one's 10 miles away from Hashem and this one's 100 miles away from Hashem. You're talking a level of friendship, of relationship, of understanding, of feeling. Just like you say, a close friend means not physically close, emotionally close. You know, there's an interesting letter from the Rebbe. The Rebbe wrote the Nichum Aveilim letter, mourner, comforting letter, to somebody who passed away. I think it's either a parent or a kid that passed away, and the Rebbe was writing a letter to them, and the Rebbe explained a simple, fundamental concept. The Rebbe said, when you love somebody, okay, and they're at the other end of the world, you miss them physically, but the bottom line is, they're still close to you. The relationship is close. Okay, the Rebbe brought out that now that the neshama is in a different place, okay, it's not any different than being in the next town. Because the closeness is nothing to do with physical dimensions. Okay? When you talk about spiritual worlds, we are not talking about feet, inches, yards, miles. We are talking about a world where there is a greater perception of godliness, is called higher. A world where there is a lesser perception of godliness is called lower. When we say Gan Eden is up there, it doesn't mean 30, 50, 100,000 miles up. It is a spiritual, again, using the word close friend, distant friend, whatever it is. You have the concept of it's a greater perception of godliness, a greater relationship with Hashem, that's called closer. So how many miles up is Gan Eden? It's here. But it's spiritual. When somebody is very generous, right? And you say they have a big heart. Figuratively speaking, you say they have a big heart, right? It doesn't mean their heart is two blocks long. It's different measurements. It's different concepts. Okay? When you have spiritual beings, they don't take up physical space. But there is spiritual space of higher and lower, closer and distant. In spirituality is more perception is closer, less perception is further. In our minds, it's very difficult to picture it because our minds picture what I see. You know, what I can touch and what I can see, what I can hear, what I can smell. You know, that's what exists in my world. But even in English or in Hebrew, in any language, there is a concept of close friend, distant friend, deep head, not deep head. It doesn't mean the same measurements. Okay? When you have the four worlds, there's four spiritual entities. And then you have the Svidus, which means to shine. That's the godliness which is in those worlds. Because Atzilus is a more refined spiritual entity, so therefore a greater level of godliness shines into Atzilus, and there's a greater perception of that godliness in Atzilus, because Atzilus is more refined. But what type of refinement are we talking about? Spiritual refinement. Not physical refinement. And these concepts, again, they're difficult for us to understand because our brains are not tuned into that. But when you start thinking that even in our language we do use terms that are defined differently than what they normally mean, so taking that a step further, we can understand in spirituality it's the same thing. We're angels. Where's Gan Eden? Gan Eden is not, you take the freeway or a spaceship to Gan Eden, and there's a sign Gan Eden 4 miles here, and you go there and then you hit Gan Eden. When the neshama leaves the body, yeah, it doesn't mean the neshama goes through the roof and goes up 1,000 miles to Gan Eden. The neshama left the spirit, the physical world, and now it's in a spiritual realm that doesn't take up physical time and place. There is spiritual time and place. Before, after, greater, lower. That's what it means. When the neshama leaves the body, if you put a blockade, the neshama is still going to go. Then there is no measurements. How much space does an angel take up? It's a ridiculous question, so to speak, because an angel doesn't take up physical space. He takes up spiritual place. Just like I can ask you, how close is your friend? You could say, very close, not so close, but you're not going to use 10 feet, 30 feet, 20 feet. You know what I mean? It's a different language. And therefore, anytime we're speaking about spirit, a person could be standing down here and be on the level of Atzilus. A tzaddik, a rebbe, down here is in the level of Atzilus being in the physical body. Because Atzilus is a spiritual awareness of godliness. It's not a physical place that you move into with your moving truck. And therefore he's discussing what happens to all these learning and davening in the mitzvahs you do. So ideally, you create a unity with Hashem on a level of Bria, when you do it, you know, with open love and fear. If not, the Yetzirah. If not, the Asir. If you do it with no Kavan at all, just habit, then basically it only goes up to the chambers of the world. It doesn't even go to the Sfiras of the world. Because the Sfira is the godliness, the light that's in the world. And again, just give a physical analogy. You can have a room, and then you can open the curtain, the light comes in. That light coming in, based on how much curtain you opened, that's the 10 Sfiras. Where are they shining? Into a spiritual world called Asiya and Yetzira and Bria and Atzilus and so on. Again, it's able to be understood as much as a human can understand. Because again, our brains are very physically minded. You know, we're very physical. I don't see it, it doesn't exist. If you walk into a room, and just to prove it even from a halachic point of view, if you walk into a room that's completely empty, mamish an empty room, and you say, there's nothing in here, are you lying or saying the truth? Are you lying or saying the truth?
You walk into a room and you say
lying. There's nothing in here.
Well, it's your perception.
Now, there's air in the room. There's molecules in the room. There's atoms in the room. There's microwaves in the room. I don't microwave oven. Microwaves, okay? There's zillions of things in the room. Okay? But if you walk into the room and say there's nothing here, you're not lying. Halachically, you're not lying. Because from your perception, there's nothing you smell, feel, touch, and whatever. It's not there. Now, I'll give you a step further. If a guy walks into a room, listen to this, into an empty room, and comes over to a woman with a ring, in front of two witnesses, and says, Harei at mekudeshesli, b'tabazo, on the condition that there's nothing in the room. Is she married? Halachically, she is a full-fledged married woman. That if she commits adultery, she gets stoned.
But there are witnesses in the room.
I said, okay, the witness in the room. They stand outside the room. And they say, no, the guy's in the room. And they go out of the room, okay? And the man says, everybody's out of the room. Four people, the man, the woman, two witnesses, are out of the room. And the man says to the woman, Harei at mekudeshesli, on the condition that there's nothing in that room.
That's his perception,
yeah. The halacha is she's mekudeshes. Why? Because from his perception, there's nothing there. But that's because he's physical. Spirituality, there is in the room. God's in the room. So that's the difference, okay?